Well, now, when you found your place, would you take a look around you and just look at all the people here today and those next to you, those across the room? This is the work that God is doing in this place and in this time. And so we have the great privilege of gathering here with God's handiwork every day. And each person that you look at is fighting a battle. Now, I hope that the battle they're fighting is not me or you. Might be. But God is in process with us. He is growing us up. One of the difficult things we have is that as God does his, you might call it iterative work, a little bit at a time, every once in a while, he just brings something on stage. Bam! And it's really hard to know what that's about. And so we want to think about how we react to things when they happen today. And I'd like to begin with a clip from The Hobbit and see how things affect people that are hobbits. Are we hobbits?
Dwalin, at your service.
Bilbo Baggins, yours.
Do we know each other?
No.
Which wheel, laddie? Is it down here?
You found up.
It is what down there?
Supper. He said there'd be food. Lots of it.
He said. Who said?
Very good, then. Any more?
What? Yes. Help yourself.
One. It's just that, I wasn't expecting to come. That'll be the door.
Balin, at your service.
Good evening.
Yes, it is. Though I think it might rain later. Hmm? Am I late?
Late for what?
Oh! Evening, brother.
By my beard, you are shorter and wider than my swing man.
Wider, not sharper.
Sharp enough for both of us.
excuse me. Sorry, I hate to interrupt. But the thing is, I'm not entirely sure you're in the right house.
Have you eaten?
It's not that I don't like visitors. I like visitors as much as the next
hobbit.
But I do like to know them before they come visiting.
I don't know. I just wasn't cheesed.
The thing is, I don't know either of you. Not in the slightest. I don't mean to be blunt, but I had to speak my mind. I'm sorry.
Apology accepted. Oh, now fill it up, brother. Don't stint. Feely.
And Keely. At your service. You must be Mr. Boggins.
No, you can't come in. You come to the wrong house.
What? Has it been cancelled?
No one told us.
Can there nothing be cancelled?
That's a relief.
Careful with these. But just let them sharpen.
It's nice.
This place.
To do it yourself.
Well, no, it's been in the family for years. That's my mother's glory box. Can you please not do that?
Keely,
come on.
Give us a hug.
Mr. Dwyer.
Let's shove this in the hole, the other way. We'll never get everyone in.
Everyone? How many more are there? Where do you want this?
Oh, no.
No, there's nobody home! Go away!
dining room as it is. This is some lothead's idea of a joke.
I can only say it is very important.
Hobbits. Are you a hobbit? When people show up at your door en masse without an invitation for dinner. Could you feel that? You're thinking about that when you watch that scene. No. I wasn't ready for that. I didn't plan for that. Most of our days are one like another. And so we have to learn something with God. We have to learn to live in such a way that when something great appears or happens, that we have some sense about it, so that we're watching for it and so that we can see it. Some of the great things that have happened in our time, just all kinds of them, one that really sticks out to me personally is the appearance in the last century of a great company or a great host of Jewish believers, because the major rabbinic Judaism and the major houses of Christianity, Catholicism, somebody get your phone, Catholicism, Orthodoxy, and Protestantism have all been structured with a mind to not having Jewish believers exist, which is very ironic to me, because those were the people that are scattered throughout the entire New Testament. They wrote the New Testament, and they were the people in the stories, and they are the subject of the letters, and so that they disappeared was an act of humanity. We decided to do that. And so I think that the fact that we have those people coming to the Lord in great numbers these days, and even in the nation of Israel, I think that's a miraculous thing of our time. And so I see that as something, I can see God's handwriting in that. So when we see something great, do we understand all of it? Absolutely not. We never do. And that the Gospels are full of words like that, that the disciples did not understand any of this until after the resurrection, until they had received the Holy Spirit. So we need some time to pass, and we need some things to happen before we understand the greatness that we are seeing. On the other hand, do we recognize in certain events and things that happen in our life personally, things that are happening in the newspaper, that the hand of God is in this? Yes, we do. We see God's hand. We can say God is up to something here. Now, some people have a kind of a mode they go into where they say just about everything. Look what God did here. Look what God did there. And that can be okay. But some things God is not directly involved in. And sometimes people get into a thing where they say, well, I've got this thing that happened to me. I've got this opinion or whatever, and I want you to believe it. So I'm going to tell you that it's from the Lord. And I think that's a dangerous thing to do. That's a place we go to where that's almost violating the commandment that says, thou shalt not use the Lord's name in vain. Don't use him to support your stuff. So not everything we see is directly from God. But we live in his universe, so everything is indirectly from him, because all the patterns in creation make all kinds of patterns that we can see in the weather, in our bodies, in things that happen. We live in a world that has a lot of meaning in it. And so that's why to say there's no God or there's no meaning is just crazy. Most of us know there's all kinds of meaning. And so God gives us his word to begin to discern what some of that meaning is. And so now the following question is if we see something and we say, well, it's probably not of God. It's just, you know, I got up and brushed my teeth today, but I'm still thankful about that I even got up. and that I have a sink, and that I have a warm house, and that I have a toothbrush, and that I'm hopefully clever enough to use it once in a while. Those are things I'm thankful about, but I'm not sure God had to do a specific miracle in space and time to push me out of bed in the morning. But given that, the question is, can God use everything? And the answer is, you better believe it. He does use everything. He's the great orchestrator. He weaves things into a whole piece so that our lives are understandable and can have meaning. Well, I'd like to look at our text here this morning in Luke chapter 9 and look at verses 37 and 38. We might, and I'm going to read this in a translation called the Tree of Life version, and I'm going to read it because it's a version that is written or was translated by a very large group of Jesus followers who are Jewish, and they're scholars as well, and they put this together, and it was available here a couple of years ago. And been looking at it. So they will use the Hebrew name for Jesus, which is Yeshua, and some they'll give it their cultural flavor. So it's like putting some of the original spice back into the text. So let's just read, let me read for you verses 37 and 38. Remember, Jesus has started a journey. He has set his face towards Jerusalem, and he's been journeying with his disciples, perhaps as far north as Mount Hermon, which is clear up in Lebanon and right on the border with Lebanon and Israel and Syria. And he's been saying all along, I'm going to be crucified and raised again. And they're just not able to process those thoughts at all. And so they finally come and they're nearing the city. And this is the time when Jesus is going to enter the city that we celebrate on the Sunday of Palms. Verse 37, when Yeshua came near the slope of the Mount of Olives, and the Mount of Olives is directly across from the city of Jerusalem. You go down a valley, and it is just like not very long of a walk. It's a mile or so. And he came down near the slope of the Mount of Olives. The whole crowd of disciples began to rejoice. They praised God with a loud voice for all the miracles that they had seen, saying, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of Adonai, the Lord. Shalom in heaven and glory in the highest." Amen. May God bless us as we unpack a little bit of what's in these two verses, these packed verses today. These people thought they were seeing something very important when Jesus came riding a donkey and heading toward the southern steps and the gate into the old city of Jerusalem for the Passover celebration. He was coming on a donkey, as Zechariah said the king would come. And so they said the words that were appropriate for that situation. And it seemed, again, finally, like perhaps something from the time of the kings and the prophets. God was doing something, but what is it? And so I think the attitude of these people in this situation, not really knowing what's going to happen, this attitude is a really good picture for us. It's a picture for us to take on a new attitude about a lot of things that happen in our life. So let me just say this about these two verses, that whatever comes, we owe grateful amazement to the Lord. Grateful amazement. And think about that for a minute. Like, if you're bored being a follower of Jesus, I would say to you, you are probably not really paying attention to what's going on around you. You're not paying attention to the other people in this room and all the things that God is doing in their lives. We need to be amazed at what's going on, because God is in the business of doing amazing things. And so let's just break these verses down just real quickly into three ideas of what they did. In verse 37, it says the whole crowd of disciples began to rejoice when Jesus came near the slope of the Mount of Olives on this donkey. And so we praise Jesus just for today. They're glad that he's here. And now the thing about these it says they were disciples that were with him. And these were people from the Galilee, from the north. And they were happy to be there for the celebration. It was like us when we go somewhere for Thanksgiving or Christmas. These people had all their whole lives, two or three times a year, made that journey together, walked, ridden on a horse or a donkey or something, in groups of families, hundreds, thousands, had come together and come to the city of Jerusalem. So some of these people had walked to Jerusalem with Jesus his entire life, or their entire life if they were younger than him. And so they knew who he was. And they had been following him around in groups of thousands up in the north where it's green and beautiful. And so now they come to the great city and they've been seeing these miracles, and now their man Jesus is, this is it. Wow. And so they were willing to just say together, this is really great. This is great to be here. Now, they did not know, even though Jesus had been speaking very specifically, especially to the 12, that he was a donkey was bearing him into the city, and then a week later, he would be coming out of the city bearing his own cross, going to the hill of the skull to be crucified. But they didn't know that, and they were just living in the day they were in. This is what God has given us today. They didn't know what happened, but they were willing to praise him now. Do you know what's going to happen this next week? Well, the answer might be, well, if nothing, you know, strange happens, I got a pretty good idea what'll happen, because it's the same thing that happens every week. Blah, 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 blah. And I can pretty much list off for you most of the stuff that's going to happen. You're going to get about a third of your hours every 24 hours. A third of your time is going to be spent sleeping. So much time is going to be spent finding some food and making it ready and eating it. And then so much time is going to be spent getting yourself a shower, cleaning up, and then all that stuff. But in reality, you really don't know what's going to happen this week. You don't know what's going to happen this afternoon. I have no idea what's going to happen to me this afternoon. And so the question is, am I willing to praise the Lord? Say, thank you, God, just for who you are, without reference to yesterday or tomorrow or this afternoon. It's really good to be alive. It's good to be your servant. It's good to be your created being. And that is worth it. Are you willing to praise God for a quiet moment in the sun, a glorious day perhaps, even if you're in the midst of a difficult time, a difficult day, or a difficult year, maybe a difficult life? Can you say, will you say, here am I, Lord. Here am I today. This is very good, what you have given me right now. And so we praise Jesus just for today, if you will. Then it says that they, those disciples, they praised God with a loud voice for all the miracles they had seen. Seen. Stuff in the past. So they were happy to see Jesus, and they were excited about what he was going to do because of what they had seen already. What miracles have you seen in your life? We praise him today for who he is, but we also praise him for what has happened in our life. Were you dealt a tough hand in this life? Were you dealt a hard deal? Has he helped you? Has he brought any healing into your life at all? Has he brought comfort somewhere in your life? Has he strengthened you for the day when you had to stand up and be strong? If he has done that for you, if he has blessed you with the people around you, if they have brought those things into your life, then those are miracles. Those are things that God is actively doing in your life. Has he given you what you need for today? You okay right now? Yes, I know the world's a mess, and I know some of our lives are a mess, but are you okay right now? Can you praise him for what he has done and where he has brought you to? The people who were offering these praises, most of them, by far the majority of them, were poor people. And that was almost by plan. The Romans and every other authority, locally, whatever, taxed them into bare survival. They took and took from them so much that they were probably lucky to get enough to eat most days. The religious leaders went out of their way to make them reassure them that God only really loves those who are rich and powerful. Because you can see that they're blessed. And you can see that you're not blessed. You're poor. And you have no power. And here comes Jesus. Jesus comes and said, blessed are those who are poor. Blessed are those. Blessed are you if you are suffering in this life. God loves you. God knows you. And God will take care of you. You have meaning in his kingdom. And so he has come and shared God's love with them. And he has shared God's love with us. He has showed God to them. And he has showed us who God is. Well, so I want to ask the question today. Would you be willing today, right now, wake up, to share a short minute or something about something God has done in your life? Some fingerprints of God you have seen in your life. Has he been doing something in your life? Is there a reason you're here today that you can just say, you know, I'm just so glad about this or that? If you would take a minute and think about that. I've asked Lynn Weaver to come and share with us just for a moment about what God has been doing in his life.